You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we are always so honored to have the opportunity to connect with Leith Anderson on a regular basis. Leith serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and for 35 years he was pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and has written some 20 books, and we always love the opportunity to get together, talk a bit about faith, church, and culture, and it's that time again. So, Leith, good afternoon. Good to talk with you.
Hey, great to be with you always.
Yeah, always good to talk to you, Leith. Thanks. You know, here it is, Pray Together Sunday. It just happened, and we're looking forward to praying all this week. Can you give us an update on what took place for those that aren't aware of it and what's happening this week? What's the next step?
Yeah, this is our second year, National Association of Evangelicals, with Pray Together Sunday, getting churches to just set aside time in their service to mostly pray for America. We had a great response this year. The numbers aren't in yet, but it was multiples of the first year last year. And, you know, a lot of it was people, churches that signed up at NAE.net, but I think more of it is actually people engaging through Faith Radio or through other networks and denominations. And we'll do it again next year and hope that we can multiply it out again one more time next year.
You know, we have the National Day of Prayer in May. Is this another sort of similar opportunity? And I know we've talked about it, but there's something about praying together in a united way that makes a significant difference in there.
And this is asking churches to do it. Of course, it's good. Every day, pray for our country. Christians should be doing that. But to set aside a specific time and know that other churches are doing the same thing, it's biblical and it's good.
You know, I always enjoy looking at the National Association of Evangelicals does a leaders survey, and your recent survey, you had leaders weigh in on how long sermons and church services should be. And you know, it's summertime, always kind of fun to, maybe they should be short in the summer, I'm not sure, but did the findings, anything surprise you at all?
Well, it's an interesting topic. Are you going to tell me how long you think it's
going to be? I suppose long enough to connect, maybe. I'll go with that one, if I can hedge in that one.
Oh, you are really careful. Not another number, wow. So,
I will say George Burns, I always said that a good sermon should have a good beginning and a good ending, and then get the two together as close together as possible. So that was his version. So I'll go with that.
Well, we didn't check with him.
Okay.
particular survey. We got a lot of good responses. The range was 30 minutes. There was at least one response to say service should be no longer than 30 minutes. Others said it should be hours long. But the median was 75 minutes for a church service and 30 minutes for a sermon. But you asked what's the big news on this. And the big news is it all depends. So ethnic minorities, immigrant churches, they like longer services. And sermon length varied sort of depending on whether the tradition of the church was Pentecostal or Baptist or Reformed or something else. But I especially like some of the comments. I get to read the comments, which, you know, we don't normally publicly release, but one of them said, 20 minutes is too long for a bad sermon. Another one said, an hour isn't long enough for a good sermon. And another one said, it was a good 10-minute sermon that lasted for 45 minutes. A little cynicism there. But, you know, and I think it was Blaise Pascal, and it's a tribute to Mark Twain and others, about writing a long letter and apologizing for not having time to write a short letter. And actually, it can be more work to say something profound in fewer words. I'm often reminded that Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 272 words and lasted less than 3 minutes and has gone down in history. And, you know, times change. We live in a world where classes are 55 minutes and TV shows are an hour. So maybe that's an expectation that has shaped our culture.
Is that the most important factor, or are there other questions maybe the pastor should keep in mind when they're putting together and the leadership teams putting together their worship service?
Considering the culture and the people in the church is really important. One time I was really sick in Kenya in Africa, and scheduled to preach out in the countryside in this African church, and I just didn't think I could do it. But I got up and I talked. And they stopped the service. The elders met, and then they formally came and said to me, that wasn't long enough. You need to talk.
We voted.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do it. I was glad I could get through what I did. But the point here is that church is a community. There's some people that stay longer before and after than they're actually there for the service, and there are others that just come and go. So knowing who the audience is really an important part. And then sticking to the essence of the gospel and the teaching of the scripture in a way that fits with that particular audience is really what every pastor should be doing.
Now, we're talking with Leif Anderson again, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals here in Connecting Faith. And in the latest Evangelicals magazine, Leif, online, you wrote an article addressing the question, what age is the best age? What were your conclusions in that?
Well, that's another it depends topic. You know, Asian cultures, old age is revered. In America, we tilt toward youth. In the Bible, it's so interesting. I often hear people say there's nothing about retirement in the Bible. It doesn't say it at all. It actually does. They need to look up Numbers 8:25. There was a mandatory retirement age of 50 for all priests. And in the United States, Social Security, this year, the mandatory was actually optional retirement age for full retirement is 66 years, 2 months. But when you look at history, Martin Luther, 500 years ago, starting the Protestant Reformation, he was 33. But Moses, when he started to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he was 80. So the most important principle here is to be faithful and serve God at whatever your age, because we can't make ourselves younger. We can't make ourselves older. What we can do is serve God where we're at.
We're, by the way, the Evangelicals magazine. It's just one of the resources available through the NAE. NAE.net is the website. You can check that out. NAE recently joined with the Prison Fellowship in signing and supporting the Justice Declaration. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I was in Washington, part of the press conference, and then I met with congressional leadership on the Justice Declaration, which is a call to bring changes to our criminal justice system in America. Just some stats on this. Today, we in America, we have 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prisoners. Recently, I was told there are more African Americans in prison in the United States today than there were slaves in the United States in 1850. So it's time to take a good look at this and make some changes. And much of our criminal justice system is based on the Bible, which calls for justice and restitution, restoration, proportional punishments. And I think we've kind of gotten off course, because what we know is that things like drug courts and mental health courts are often, in specific cases, better than criminal courts. And we also know that there are some states that are really leading the way, and we need to look to them. Texas is one of the better states in tackling this. And my dream would be that some of the 350,000 churches in America would adopt a prisoner or a prisoner's family or someone recently released. If they would all do it, it would transform America. If 10% of the churches in America would do it, it would just be huge. So National Association of Evangelicals, Prison Fellowship, and others, we're joining together to call for a difference, a change in our criminal justice system.
Fulfilling the call that Jesus commanded us to do is to care for the prisoners. That's a wonderful thing.
Leith, not long ago, the president spoke in Poland on his G20 trip, and the issue was raised. He wondered if the West had the courage, the will to survive. And I was looking at an article in response to him. One of them called it apocalyptic fatalism. And I'm wondering, just be interested in your thoughts. How do Christians develop a realistic view of the world? You know, difficult days are going to come. The Scripture talks about that, but we still have our hope in heaven. I mean, is that apocalyptic fatalism anything for the believer?
It's not the way I would normally read the Bible, and Christians are people of the Bible. The Bible certainly tells us we're in a fallen world that needs to be saved, and the good news is that Jesus Christ came to save us. But, you know, what's happening in our world, I'm not so pessimistic. The church is now growing faster and larger than any time in history. Extreme poverty has been cut in half worldwide in the last 10 years. 2017 is the first year in recorded history without a war going on in the Western Hemisphere. So as I look around the world, I see so much evidence of God's power and grace. I mean, I think it was not too many years ago that there were fears of the eradication of all Christians and churches in China. Wow. China is now the seventh largest Christian country in the world, and some scholars, like at Purdue University, are predicting that with continued growth of the church in China, China in the next generation will be the largest Christian country in the world. So there's always bad news to think about, to be sure, but never, never, never underestimate God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Well, what we're supposed to do is live out our Christian lives and trust God for his grace in our generation.
And I think the world is pretty good. Certainly media in newspapers and the like is selling, bad news and cynicism. So that's something we have to kind of fight against day by day, isn't it?
We need to be keenly aware of what God is doing. I think what God is doing in our generation is unprecedented in all of history. And we need to give the credit to God and not so much the blame to everybody else.
Good words, as always, from Leith Anderson. We always love the opportunity to talk culture, faith, the church, politics, and a variety of things. Leith serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals after a longtime pastorate at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and he's authored some 20 books. And you can find out more about the good work of the National Association of Evangelicals online at nae.net, nae.net. Leith, I look forward to our next visit. Thanks.
Thanks to you. Blessings, and enjoy those blessings of God.